Online Podcast 96. We're still out. Hello, hello. Welcome to Online Podcast. This is John Ong. You're listening to me and you're still listening to, for the last 2 weeks, you've been listening to Simon and Tigger. And, hello.
Hi, John. Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone. I know Archer listened to this. I don't know why I always think of Archer, because we're like the, you know, the Chinese siblings. Long-lost Chinese siblings. We are back, and I also have these two nice listeners of mine back again, because we just cannot stop talking. Well, I cannot. And I just think that it's a great thing, and that's what podcast is for, you know, interesting conversation that people, if you're not in this situation, you probably don't think about it. Kind of like the Phil situation, you know, in the whole visa thing. You never think about it because you don't have to worry about that. So through voices from other people, you probably learn more about the world and other people. And the more you know about other people, the less judgmental you will be. My gosh, well, I sound like Susie Orman.
Or you sound a little like Wanda there, you know. Let's all just sit and...
Let's keep the positivity flowing.
Yes. That's why I like Wonder Wisdom too, is the positive energy that you get from that show. In fact, it was kind of funny because this was like several shows ago, like very, very long time ago. Somebody said that, I think it was Mr. Pooh's probably, somebody mentioned that I have not... I'm like the nice guy of the podcast, of the queer caster, you know. I'm always the, you know, very nice. I don't talk bad about people, and I'm always smiling, laughing on the show. It's all nice. And then I was commenting about that comment that came in, and here I was driving to work. I was like, oh, you stupid driver, you were driving so recklessly. Oh, you stupid driver, let me pass you.
I remember that.
Oh, and okay.
And I was laughing when I listened to that.
And that's karma. That's karma right there. Because it just happened to me again. You probably remember this too. Several shows ago, I was talking about another Malaysian podcaster called On The Fans, which I love. They have great content and they sounded so Malaysian, their accent and everything. It's just right on in exactly the show that I want to listen to. But the audio was horrible. So I thought, I emailed them, and she emailed me back, and she kind of explained her situation. I understand that, and I totally understand where they came from. She just needed a new microphone and all that crap. But I was commenting on that, and then the whole show was overmodulated. My show, when I was complaining about other people's audio quality, whole show was karma. Too loud. That's karma. Be careful. Hint, hint, White House. Ding, ding.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So welcome back, everyone. And we don't really have anything. We would talk about coming out, and so Simon has something to say.
Tigger, I think you had a question for John.
Oh, I did. John, I would like to know, what is it like to be gay in Malaysia?
Like, that's a very interesting question. Not into Wonder Wisdom. I have to say, when... It almost felt like I was... Sorry, my phone is ringing. It's Bruce. Hang on just a second. Hello, baby.
Hello.
Hey, sweetie pie.
Hi, Bruce.
Okay. I'm with the two listeners. We're doing a show right now. And actually, they were saying, one of them, Tigger especially, said, you should come onto the show more often. Oh.
Yes, yes.
When I get home.
Okay, here you are on the show right now.
What?
You're on the show right now.
Oh.
Hi, Bruce.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Bruce. They say hi, Bruce, but Bruce can't hear you guys, though. I'm not that sophisticated yet. I just turned on the speakerphone.
Right. Yeah, I don't have any ISP here, so I can't get your thing. Well, I'm in the parking structure, and I'm winding my way down to street level.
Okay.
And, here's a cute young couple making out on the trunk of their car.
Okay.
There's that laugh, John.
That's the laugh that they like.
Well,
they like your laugh. Yeah, come home, baby. Come home, baby.
And it is a gorgeous warm October evening. It is short sleeve weather, and
it's November.
It's nice to be out, and so I am leaving beautiful downtown Country Club Plaza.
Okay.
And home, and ooh, there's a hot chocker.
Okay, grab him home. Okay, bye. Love you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye,
everyone. Love you, too. Bye.
Oh, he's so sweet.
Oh.
What does Bruce think about all this, John? What does Bruce think about podcasting and you doing it? And does he think you're crazy? Does he think it's...
He thinks that... Well, what does he think? He thinks that I'm a tiny celebrity, like which I always am, because I sing at lots of little functions here in Kansas City. Uh-huh. So I'm a little micro celebrity, but not really. But he likes technology too. So I rarely have him on because, first of all, he goes to bed very early. He's a teacher, and I myself usually start recording kind of late, and so he's rarely involved, and I also probably don't want to make him do too much, you know, just whenever he's comfortable and he wants to come in, I don't want to push him, so, right. Because, you know, he didn't ask for this, and, you know, it's my kind of thing, and it's online podcast, it's not Bruce Line podcast, so... So it's all me.
Bruce Line podcast with macaroni and cheese.
Ooh.
I remember that episode too.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked very good.
It didn't taste really good though. Because it was so hard to be it was so hard to be a photographer and the cook, the chef, and the commentator and the audio engineer all together. It was so hard. But anyway, let's go back to the answer. I mean, the question. Oh, the answer. The question was, how is it like being being a gay Malaysian or being gay in Malaysia? When it's very vague for me because I'm here in the United States for 10 years. I'm out 8 years. So it is actually here that I came out. So all the previous experience when I was back home, it was all pretty much totally blocked out by my little Catholic head, you know, Catholic brain. Just totally block out sexuality. There's no talk about girlfriend, boyfriend, nothing. It's just you kind of stay neutral. Oh, don't bite me! Don't bite me!
Was there any kind of... did they pretty much have everything on lockdown? You know what I'm saying? Was there any kind of culture that you could observe?
Yeah, that's where I was. Is there a gay culture in Malaysia?
There is now. There is now. It is still very underground, so you can imagine. It's always been there. I mean,
Sure.
No matter how, what country, there's no, like, you know, our bishop. Oh, gosh, maybe I shouldn't say that. One of the bishops said that, oh, I actually saw a gay couple in the congregation. It's like, hello? Who did the flowers? Oh, goodness. And so, where was I going with this? Oh, there's always there. I mean, the gay community is always there. We hear about it. There's always a negative connotation to the gay community, maybe everywhere. So, it is always growing up. If you are gay, you would get bullied in school if you're gay.
Uh-huh.
Those bullies actually just automatically, their gaydar is actually better than anyone else.
Yeah,
So they would, you know, it's something that we don't talk about, and obviously I was too innocent, and the reason why I know this is because recently when I was doing my other podcast, now cross-promotion, my PenangHokkien.com, Penang Hokkien podcast, if you don't know Hokkien, you probably don't want to listen to that one, it's in a whole different dialect, but I found out that this next show coming up next week is an episode that we talk about how some of my friends found three guys in the band room, the marching band room, giving blowjobs to each other or something. And obviously, I did not know.
Making music of their own, huh?
Yes, they blow their own horn. And and so. And so it was very, I was very innocent. I was very, very naive, not innocent. I was very naive.
Uh-huh.
And I actually had an encounter.
Well, that's hard to believe.
Yeah, that's hard to believe.
It's hard to believe now. Uh-huh. And so when I came out, all poured, I tell you. It just got poured. And so it was very strange for me, so because of that, I have very little recollection of how it was being gay. That's why I'm so interested in finding a friend who are comfortable enough that you know, in Malaysia, being gay in the society and actually talk to us directly. I think that was probably a better way of talking about it than me telling you, because I frankly do not know exactly how that feels, because it's been too long for me and I was too naive. I just blocked it out entirely. Although I do have an aunt who used to be an uncle in the family, and so. What is that? Transsexual? What do you call that? Transgender? Aunt that's in the family. So we all know about it. It's kind of become a matter of fact. You know, it's like, it's just my aunt. We used to be an uncle. We don't, you know, that the, you know, the fact is there. It's not like, not that we did not know that she was a man before. It's just that, it's just, you know, that's the aunt who used to be an uncle, and there's no judgment in there at all.
That's good.
So I don't know if that helped for my family, but the thing is,
are there a lot of transvestites in Malaysia, John?
You know,
I always hear that there are.
Yes.
They have these elaborate drag shows down there.
Yes, especially in Thailand, in Malaysia too. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the culture. I think the Thai and the Malay culture are very similar in certain way. And for those of you who do not know, in Malaysia, there are the three major groups of ethnic groups. One, the majority would be Malay, and then Malay is kind of like Polynesian, you know, Malay, they're the native. Mm-hmm. And then there's then followed by Chinese, like me, and then Indian. So, and then there's also other you know, different ethnic groups there too. But yes, in Malay and Thai culture, that's for some reason I have to say that this is what I learned after I came here. The Malay culture is actually very accepting of the gay community. Actually, they exist since the very, you know, back in the 1500s, you know, the sultan or the sultans, as we would call it. Mm-hmm. For American audience, the sultans would actually have like concubines, like gay partners, friends, or whatever you call it, in the palace. So it wasn't something that is uncommon. It's the religion of the Islamic religion. The Islam was the religion that actually made being gay a taboo. But for the Malay culture themselves, so the two separate things: culture and religion. And the religion is the one that's against it, and culture is the one that embraces it. So it's sort of like a little conflict there. So we are kind of accepting, you know, we see people, transgender people everywhere. It's common. Well, not common, like as in, you know, everywhere all the time, but you do see them every once in a while. So especially in the Malay community.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, also have bad reputation. You know, sometimes they call them different names, and there are some of them, you know, selling themselves on the street, you know. So, because nobody would want to hire them. And so, what else can you do?
Right.
But, you think it's a good thing? Maybe I should try to pursue to get a guest that I can actually talk to me in, you know, first person, and tell us all about being gay in Malaysia.
What is your other podcast focused on? I mean, is that what it is?
No, it is not. But the target audience is, because of the dialect that I use, it's a Chinese dialect, and so people listening to those are either from Malaysia, from Penang, or maybe Taiwanese would probably understand that too. So they would be Asian, at least, to be able to understand that show. And also subtly, I don't pretend like I'm not gay. on the show, but I also don't talk about it as much as I do here because of the target audience. And also, that is not the reason why I did that show. That show was merely getting with a bunch of friends who are also gay and chat. And everybody loved that because you know how stereotypical sometimes that's true. Gay people, when they chat, they're kind of bitchy and bitch at each other. That's kind of fun, right? So that is totally the whole that is totally the whole point of the show. And my mom listened to it. My mom is a big fan of that show. She's like, "When do you have a next episode out?" So it's actually kind of nice. But I would love to have
your podcast.
Not my
to your podcast.
Not this one. She listens to the other one.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
She used to listen to this one, but kind of you know, she likes it. It's more entertaining for her because it's not in English.
Does she listen to Madge?
No, she does not. I don't think she would mind, though. Because I have to tell you this thing that's kind of funny and kind of sweet at the same time. My parents were here, and we were out then. Both of us were out. And that was they came over here, and they met Bruce for the first time, blah, blah, blah.
How'd that go?
Very well. Very well. I don't know if Bruce was nervous. I have to talk to him about it on the show, maybe. But she
come on the show, Bruce.
Yeah, he always knows that my parents are cool. But you know, meeting them. Well, I'm happy that he actually gets to meet them here in the United States rather than going there to meet them. I think it would be an additional layer of stress for him. But they were here and. We were already talking, and that's part of the reason why, because I keep talking about Bruce because I didn't want to hide, I didn't want to lie to my parents. So when I do something fun about Bruce, I'll tell my parents that I did something fun about Bruce. So they already know that Bruce exists. And so when we came out, she said something really sweet. And okay, so this is how it works. And they were here, and on the way home, on the way leaving Kansas City back to Malaysia, they were at the airport. And, you know, it's, you know, kind of sad, you know, partying and all that. And we're all hugging each other. And then when it's all done, I know I wasn't crying. You know, I was, like, very close, but I wasn't crying. Because, pretty soon I'll be going home. So, anyway, so we left. And I went back into my car. And Bruce was driving. And Bruce said, "Did you know what your mom told me when she gave me a hug earlier?" I said, "What?" And he said, "Please take care of my John." No, I wasn't getting emotional. It was just flammed out. So please take care of my John. And I cried and I bawled. It's like, oh! So, very lucky.
What a way to say she accepted your relationship and she accepted Bruce. And that's really great.
Yeah.
How did your parents take it, Tigger?
That's not too good. I'll be the first one to tell you that I'm not a happy story. My parents, you know, I knew I was gay probably since I was like 6 years old. I just knew I was. I never thought it would change. I thought I had the willpower to live without, you know, being gay, but I knew it was there. And they were not accepting, and they still aren't accepting, and they still think that I can, you know, I keep telling them this is not a choice, this is not, why would I choose to live this way? Why would I choose to live with discrimination? And they just never have accepted it. You have to get to a point then where you have to say, you know what, I got to live my life. And I can't live it for you anymore. And it's we just don't talk about it. And it's almost mind-numbing when I talk to them sometimes because they just don't want to hear about anything like that. And, you know, we have to talk
but
about
it's
safe.
Such a big part. That
it is.
Like, yeah.
So, unfortunately, it's kind of pushed us apart. And I don't really talk to them as much as I used to. And it's, you know, I had Midwestern parents, you know, they both lived in the Midwest and moved to California, and it's just, I really realized that they were not, it was just the way that they were brought up.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to change them. I wasn't going to change it.
Yeah.
That's true. And, you know, that's why I'm saying no matter what, it is hard to judge. You just cannot judge because, you know, they come from a different background.
It made me a lot stronger because I had to really, you know, accept me for me and I had to love me for me,
sure.
If anything. And it really, when I came out, I likened it to like I just like a metamorphosis. I felt like I was an onion opening up and all these layers
blossoming.
Coming off and, yeah, yeah. I'm stinky like an onion too.
Like chai. Well, chai is a big stinky cat.
Take that stinky adversity and, you know,
stink it out.
Turn it into something.
Met a lot of great people. I have a lot of, you know, I've met a lot of mothers of gay friends who have been like my adoptive mothers, my best friend's mother. I love her, Bonnie. She is like my mother, and I go see her for Thanksgiving, and she treats me like her son, and you just have to kind of find love where love is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not sometimes with your family.
That's true.
Hope it is.
Yeah.
Hope it is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You get to choose your friends. You don't get to choose your family. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So it's
okay, I have one other thing.
I didn't mean to bring it up if it was sort
No. I think it's very important.
It's very important
for
other people. There's not always the perfect coming out stories. And
you just have
to learn to deal and live with it. Now, talking about that though, when I came out to my brother. Oh, Jesus, Holy Mother of God. Oh my God.
Hi, everyone.
Maybe I should give you another headphone. Wait, okay, wear this. Hang on, he's going to join.
Oh, I'm not staying.
Well, you don't have to stay. Just listen to them. They like your voice. Oh, crap. Did I? What did I do? Oh, okay. Okay.
Bonjour.
Is that Bruce?
Yes, hello.
Hi, hello. Bruce.
Hi.
Bruce, I just want to say that you need to be on the show more often because I think you're hilarious. When I watched John's when you went to the Mall of America,
yes.
Bruce, you had me cracking up so bad because you're so sarcastic. I think you said one thing: why go out in the fresh air when you can breathe all the air in the mall? That had me laughing. And then your other comment when you said John was walking and he was talking and you said something under your breath, but it was loud enough for me to hear. Like, Well, John, I'm just not used to this tape recording people without them knowing.
Oh. He's always concerned about that, yeah.
It's an unnatural act.
We're talking about coming out, and this is like the third show? Goodness.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, thanks for coming.
Sure. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, okay. Bruce.
All right, bye-bye.
Oh, you overmodulate.
Oh, sorry.
Bye. Okay.
Some people's voices just naturally overmodulate.
Like me?
No, Bruce has a strong voice.
He does. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, my friend. Oh, okay. I just got... My friend gave me a bag... Well, not gave me, but kind of loaned me his camera for my video podcast so that I can do it more easily. But anyway, so thank you, John. I will be probably, and he's probably a listener every once in a while, and I'll be playing with that soon. But let's go back to the topic. Where were we? What were we talking about? We were talking about...
I don't know.
Oh, whoa. There's one thing that I want to tell you, though. After I came out to my brother.
That's what we were talking about.
I came out with my brother, just like the burp, you know, the guests come out. I came out to my brother and it's really coming out to yourself that is the key thing. I mean, when we talk about coming out, don't you think it's yourself? It's like you finally, okay, yeah, I am gay. That is what coming out is, or at least for me. So even to one person, you consider that as coming out. So I told my brother, and he was probably the only one who knew about it. Of course, no, he actually was the one who came out. We were on the phone talking about this girl that I just broke up with and blah, 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 blah. And he said that, oh, yeah, he's gay. I said, oh, yeah, me too. So
that's how you found out, really?
Yes, each other. We did not talk about this, you know, and we're considered very close siblings, but because of similar interests and, you know, being gay and all that. Uh-huh. But we never talk about that, but it just turned out and everything was very smooth. And that was like, I think on the 23rd and on the 24th of December is when I'm totally out. Well, not totally out. You know what I mean? Like I actually accepted that I am gay. And so I went to church for the Easter, not Easter. What's that called? The, you know, the Christmas Eve mass. And I can tell you in church. Oh, of course, that's like one of the most liberal Catholic church, if that's such a thing. You know, there's a lot of gay congregation. And so I was there. I was like, oh my God, I can see things clearly for once in my whole life. For the last 22-23 years, I have always been living in this lie. I don't see things as clearly. I mean, literally, I actually feel like things are clearer, things are more vibrant, the color, and I can see each person, I can see through them. You know, it's like, oh, that's a gay couple there, and there's, oh, that's a gay guy there, and, you know, when you were talking about picking out gay people. And, you know, it's like, oh my God, everything is clear all of a sudden. Did you guys have that moment?
I think for me, it was just finally being me. And yeah. Not having to pose, not having to lie. It is a lie. You're living in such a huge lie. And I think I got really tired of holding up the lie. And, you know, and just having to put on a different face with each person in my life. And I never could put my real face on. And when I came out, there I was. And, yeah, it is. There's a lot of clarity. There was for me.
Yeah.
When I came out, I finally felt like this is who I am. This is why I'm here.
For me, it was clear long before I came out. And it was just making the choice to rearrange all the situations. I think probably a good... maybe even a year or so before I came out, I was trying to just accept it and say, okay, well, this is where I am right now, and I have to make this work. I cannot uproot my family. This is not, you know, that wouldn't be fair to them, and financially, and, you know, all of those things. So I think it was clear to me long before I actually came out, but it started to take its toll, obviously. but when it did happen, it was more like a relief, like we said before. Mm-hmm. It was more like someone let the air out of the balloon and
whee!
Oh, I can breathe now. It was more like being able to breathe again.
I've
been holding my breath for a year. Or however long. I can't even remember. It's so gradual the way those things build up and up and up and up.
Okay, I have one thing on a lighter note. What is it lighter? I don't know. I am sort of glad that my first kiss was to a guy. I always kind of was saddened by it because... I always thought, oh my gosh, what if my future wife asked me about what was your first kiss? Who was it? How do I tell her? So, isn't that a strange topic? So I was like, oh my gosh, I was very concerned. Should I lie or should I not? So I was very concerned. And then, you know, now that I'm out, I was like, oh, I'm so glad there was a guy.
Well, my first kiss was a woman, but
not that it's
you,
bad. But
when I did kiss a guy, it was like, wow, okay, this is why kissing is so great.
Oh,
and
exactly.
The fireworks went off. Uh-huh. It really did, and it confirmed to me that yes, I am gay because this is something I definitely can like this and get used to this.
Exactly. It's the fireworks inside.
Natural.
The chemistry. It's like your blood is boiling or something, you know, the cold
is,
body
is
like, oh my
it's
gosh, like turning.
Finally kicking in.
So what about Simon?
Oh.
We don't have to go there.
I don't know if I want to go there.
Yeah, let's not go there. I just realized and I don't edit, so we better not go there because I'm not going to go back and cut it out.
There are some things that I haven't yet. I try not to talk about things that I have yet to talk to.
Sure, family and people involved.
First.
Yeah,
right.
I feel that she is probably the most important person first.
Sure, that is true.
Well, I mean, Simon. I mean, it's great. I mean, you're doing a podcast.
Yeah, I am, aren't I?
It's okay. It's a small show. It's not like Wanda Wisdom or anything. It's a small show. So there'll be probably about maybe 200 people listen to this. So
that's it, Simon. Just 200.
Just 200 people.
I think it's inevitable I'm going to start one anyway.
Oh, good, 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 good.
Oh, good.
You you definitely feel very comfortable talking.
Well, that's something new.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Now, it's also very much easier.
I actually called in tonight because I was curious as to how I would interact with other people. This is kind of like a test for me.
It's okay.
Oh, God.
Now, are you planning on doing a show that with a friend that has like a conversational style? Because it's very different when you have to talk to yourself or to the microphone for the next 20 to 30 minutes.
Well, I've done a little bit of audio blogging, and I think that's probably what I'll do, is more like, I really kind of want to do something more experimental. I don't know if you heard Madge's rant a couple days ago. She was pretty emotional about...
When? All the time.
Well, I mean, it was a little bit uncharacteristic. She wasn't, like, trying to be... It wasn't her
show. Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about? It was kind of a little bit more raw, she was just ravingly angry.
What was surprising, not surprisingly, but what was the show that I haven't yet listened to was Zillafag? Was it that one? No, not Zillafag, Gaberhood. Gaberhood Radio? Remember that guy he was talking about? His car
got... Did you hear him? Oh, that was...
It made
really
me
hurt.
It hurt. It's like
I had to stop. There are moments like that where I have to stop what I'm doing.
It actually literally felt. I have this little soreness in my inside, in my heart or my chest. Like I felt like a razor blade cut me when I heard that piece. It was so powerful. That's why which by the way, I did the logo for him.
Oh, you did?
Oh, for Marshall?
Yes!
That's cool.
The Gaberhood Radio.
Sorry,
Marshall, I did not listen. I don't think he listens to my show, so I've never listened to his show. But there are just so too many shows,
well,
I cannot keep up.
I listen to everybody.
There are, John, you're so right. There are too many now. There's so many to listen to.
Yeah, just too many, and that's why I don't feel bad when people tell me, oh, I only caught that episode. I don't listen to your show anymore. You know, so I don't care, really, because it's just too many shows, and if you're, like, stuck with one show, if you're enjoying it, great. If you're doing it because you have to, because now that you've spoken to me, you have to listen to the show, please don't do that, because there might be so many good shows out there that you're missing out on, so.
Well, yeah, and that's partially why I haven't actually started one, because it's, like,
it's a full-time job listening to podcasts.
It's
a full-time job listening to podcasts.
It is a full-time job.
Oh, Jesus, holy! Wait! I just played my theme song accidentally. Okay, shut up. Sorry. Oh my God, I hit the space bar and started to play my theme song.
The magic moments in podcasting there.
Oh my God, it's already 33 minutes. Can you imagine that? Oh my goodness, maybe I should play the theme song. But, you know, any last words from both of you?
John Ong, I am going to congratulate you early on getting to 100 shows.
Oh, and good. We're four shows away.
I think all the listeners should send John Ong audio comments and tell John why they like online podcasts.
Well, thank you. I'll take it. You don't have to do it, but I'll take it. Well, you know what? An easier way of doing it is, if you're lazy, is just to call my 206-888-JOHN. Line. And Simon,
because
any last
word? Online.
Sorry.
It was really nice meeting both of you.
Thank you. Nice
likewise,
to meet you too.
Likewise. You too.
You know, that's part of the reason why I listen is to try and why we all listen probably is to reach out and meet new people. Part of this. Anyway.
Exactly. You know, wouldn't it be fun? I think, if everybody stay positive, wouldn't it be fun to have a Q Potter gathering of some sort, don't you think?
It would.
Now, there might be a situation where it would turn ugly. I don't want to go there, but there's too many divas in the room.
That's a horse that's been sort of beat down and needs to be buried.
Yeah, I think, you know, how do we get about, you know, whenever there's human being, there's going to be conflict. But how?
And then when you add gay on top of it, it's
yeah,
like,
oh, there's no two divas in a room, and we have like, oh my god, 125. But anyway, it's I just think that, you know, if it stays positive, like Wanda Wisdom, everybody breathe. And no, just think of the big picture. I mean, we are all gay. If you're gonna be bitchy at each other, you can be. I mean, there will be conflicts, but you know, don't make a big deal out of it. I mean, just look at the big picture. The just look around you before you go into this minute little issue that you have to bicker.
They're all also adults.
Yeah,
and they need to work it out themselves.
That's true.
Right.
I just think that it will be a whole lot of fun. We actually get to meet each other. Oh my lord! Maybe I get to perform Wanda Wisdom song live.
That would be that. We would open up. We would open the podcasting party up with that, John.
Woo! Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be fun? Q Potter 2006. Somebody with fewer jobs than me should go out and organize that. Because yeah. I like you know, how many jobs do I have? 7 jobs. Now it's approaching 40 minutes, but I don't care because I've upped my Libsyn subscription. I've got more space now. You'll be listening to more of my On the Road podcast if it is appropriate in stereo again, because that's what I used to do. I do all my podcasts in stereo in my binaural microphone, and I like people to be to feel like they are actually there with me, and that's what I intended to do yesterday, but I might actually go back and re-render that thing and actually replace it, because I just, you know, it's a different feel. I'm very audio person, very audio quality, you know, it better be good. So so I'm going to be able to do that now, even though it's $10 more. So you can support me by going to my online podcast. Oh my gosh, I hate this part. And then there's a little donate tip jar thing. You can go do that. Or, better yet, go to... Oh, what is it called? My own website. PodcastersUnite.com. And see if you like it. Now, if you don't, you don't have to do anything. If you like it, just purchase a shirt. And there'll be more coming, too. And that's my... Oh, I forgot to plug it. Like, over the last 1, 2, 3, 4 shows, I forgot to plug my own site. Anyway. But go there.
You can add it in.
Yeah. Go there and purchase something if you like it. But anyway. So, anything else from both of you? And thank you so much for taking part. There's another... A guy actually just came in that, he didn't join the conference room. I guess it's not involving himself in there, but it's too late anyway. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm losing my voice. Oh my god, I turned into Madge.
See, there's those personas again, John.
I'm very excited. I'm very excited. I'm so happy that both of you, Simon and Tigger, get to be on my show. And you know what? This is show number 96, so I might actually do more if my schedule allows. I would actually come in and actually do more of a call-in show. It's been a great success. I wasn't. If you listen to the show, or you have already listened to this by now, that first show that I was waiting for everybody to turn up, nobody turned up. I was like, oh, great! And then, oh, guess what? When you click on that, when you get onto this Gizmo voice, what is it, the conference call thing, it tells you, you are the only one in the- it felt so lonely. You are the only one here. You are the only one in this conference call. So I was kind of sad. No, not really. But I wasn't expecting much. And I'm so glad that Tigger gets to spend time with us for several shows. 2 weeks, actually. Because he's usually not home in the evening. Isn't that right?
Usually not. That's right.
So thank you. Great. Thank you so much. Have any last word, please, from Tigger?
Don't forget to smile.
Oh, great. I don't have to say that then. And Simon?
Peace out.
All right, peace out from Florida. And my stinky cat just jumped up, and I'll play my outro. thank you very much, both of you. Don't hang up yet. I'll have to say a personal bye after we finish the show. I'm losing my voice because we've been yakking for a long time. Go to my website, onlinepodcast.com. Also, go to my new venture. Go to podcastersunite.com and check that out. And you can call 206-888-CUNT. No, 888-JOHN. also online at gmail.com. Bye, everyone. Don't forget to smile.
Bye.